A wave of protests across Iran since November 2019 have met an increasingly severe state response, resulting in many thousands of arrests and a death toll in excess of 1,500. In this podcast, Javed Rehman, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Iran, speaks about these protests and the repressive actions of the Iranian government, as well as addressing other human rights issues in the country. He also discusses the mandate of his role and the difficulties in fulfilling it. Speaking by phone to the IBA's Middle East correspondent, Imad Meke, based in Cairo, he begins by considering the protests and the state's use of extreme force in response.
In the middle of November, this thing started. It started because of the hike in price, you know, raising of the price of fuel. Obviously, there were many people protesting already. They were protesting against the maladministration, the price hike, unemployment. There were lots of people who were very disturbed. And of course, you know, we can't exclude the impact of the U.S. sanctions on people's economics and their lives. So many people are adversely impacted by a range of issues, including the sanctions. There is a fundamental right in human rights law to the freedom to protest. So long as these protesters carry on and follow their human rights protest and defense, they should not face punishment from the state. So the question is, why is the state punishing them? We have reports that, as I just read out, that the people have been shot at with a view to being killed. So that kind of treatment of protesters, I think that violates, you know, many international human rights norms. The most severe form of force was used possibly outside of Tehran. The areas where there were ethnic minorities, such as the Ahmadi Arabs, for example, those areas, Arab areas, the Kurdish areas. We also have reports that Baloch areas. So ethnic minorities have been targeted because they have been protesting already. There have been protests out there. So we are receiving reports from these ethnic communities of disproportionate killing. It's always a risky strategy if you use too much force. And I think there was a backlash to that. As the statement says, that the governor of Quds herself admitted publicly that she ordered security forces to shoot protesters entering the governor's building. Their strategy was to actually blame it and say that all these people are spies and they want to spread unrest in the country. Human rights organizations are saying that the scale of violations is so serious that there needs to be a special investigation by the Human Rights Council through a specially coordinated session.
Tactics to control the situation have included intimidation of the families of protesters, an attempted censorship of speech and communication.
Because the numbers are so high, because the protest is so big, they have been trying to intimidate families. And also, we have reports that journalists have been ordered not to criticize the way the government is reacting. And even journalists who are based abroad, their relatives have been apparently approached and sort of intimidated and asked to inform their relatives not to speak out and criticize outside of Iran. So there have been a lot of unfortunate tactics by the Iranians to block. And of course, internet was blocked for many days throughout the country, and it was only slowly that access to information was available. Only after the protests had gone through the most violent consequences and huge number of deaths, that we realize that the Iranian state is using a lot of force and aggression. They have been trying their best that this information does not go through to the world, but obviously they have not been successful. I suspect it could still be some time that we are fully familiar with what's going on.
The UN continues to be concerned about those detained following the protests, says Rehman.
We have made submissions, you know, as you saw in the press release, for the release of all the detained persons, for the Iranian authorities to, you know, give us more information on the casualties. There are many individuals detained. They are being threatened with execution. We still do not have confirmed information. So it will take time. If we get more detailed information on the treatment of detainees or what is going on. I think that would be important for us to, you know, tell the world, because there is a lot of concern. You know, people are approaching me, they're telling me from various sources that still many people are being kept in detention. As our statement says, that there is a concern about the treatment. Many people are being tortured. There is reported, you know, ill treatment in order to extract confession. So, we are monitoring the situation closely.
Rahman discusses his UN role and the difficulties he has faced.
That's part of the mandate to seek to undertake the visit to Iran and to see the human rights situation there. But it's not been possible to visit Iran by the special rapporteur since its re-establishment in 2011. Quite simply, that this mandate, Iranian state does not recognize this mandate. They think it's based on double standards because it's a country mandate, and very few countries have been mandated by the Human Rights Council. Iran and its allies oppose this mandate because they think that it was driven by politics. So that is a big problem with Iran.
We are receiving information from the sources in Iran, but it's not the same thing as having access to go and visit the country itself. Every time I submit my report or every time I speak to the Iranian authorities, I remind them that it is important for me to have access to Iran. But thus far, they've not responded positively.
To give credit to Iran, they engage with the mandate, even if they don't recognize its legitimacy. They have engaged with special rapporteurs. So we receive responses, they issue with the special rapporteur. So, yeah, to that extent, there is cooperation.
According to Rahman, despite one or two optimistic notes, the general human rights picture in Iran is rather bleak.
If you look at one or two laws, like the Iranian nationality law, which allows Iranian women who are married to foreign nationals, that has been a positive step. This was positive also. There was a football match where limited access to women was allowed. I think it was in October. So there have been small incremental steps, but the overall picture is quite negative. I mean, if you look at not just the protests, but also on executions, on child offender executions, which mean people below the age of 18. There are continuing violations and repression of human rights activists such as Nargis Mohammadi and Nasrin Sotoudeh and other activists and human rights lawyers. Then in my statement to the General Assembly, you would have seen the persecution of religious and ethnic minorities. That has, unfortunately, it has increased. There's harassment, there's exclusion, there's discrimination of all these groups. So the overall picture is quite negative.